Hey, podcasters, Claire Z, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, the best of Big Mal for the year.
Is Australia Sexist with host Yumi Steins.
I got shat on.
Oh, can we say that?
Probably
and
not.
We drop number four in Matt's best hits from your hood for the year.
I can't believe he's got shat on.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
It's been another tumultuous year in Aussie politics, hasn't it?
It's constant.
Never far from the headlines. Big Mal, of course, till he got sort of booted out by the Libs. But anyway, we thought we'd put together the best of Big Mal for the year because there's been a lot going on and there's never been a dull moment, has there?
Never.
The best of Big Mal.
Big Mal, we weren't even sure if you would talk to us today.
Well, yes, Kimber, everybody in Perth and Freo decided that they were just going to give me a kicking. But that's incumbency for you. We'll always suffer a protest vote because Australians love to hate. It's called the tall poppy syndrome, isn't it?
It is.
You know how it goes. In America, people see a guy in a Ferrari whizzing by and they say, oh, wow, look at him. I wish I was him. But in Australia, you see a guy in a Ferrari and what do you think? Tosser.
Big Mal, what do you got planned for Valentine's Day tomorrow?
Well, Claire, like you, I'm a romantic. There's always flowers and chocolates. Mm. Then we go out to dinner. There's a little Chinese place in Kingston that Lucy loves called Who Gives a Duck. Clive Palmer used to go there and eat them out of house and home. Then we go home, skin up a fatty and get into a torrid session on the workbench.
Yeah, great.
What I really want to do is crush the poor. Yeah. They annoy me with their cigarettes and their chocolate milk. Why are you still driving around in a Magna from the 90s? They make a terrible sound when they go around the corner, don't they? What is it, the CV joint?
Yes.
I used to have one of those, yeah.
So, yeah, I just want to come down on the pod.
Oh, wow. Well, Big Mal,
I know it's all of your listeners, but never mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man leading our land, Big Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Clarey.
How do you spend Easter with Lucy?
Lucy and I actually have some friends over at the Piper for a fondue party. We crank up the tunes and get a little fruity. I get hammered on Sangiovese and pass out on the couch wearing bunny ears.
Ooh,
that's what normally happens.
Sounds like an orgy.
Correct, Kimber, it's an orgy.
Right.
Well done, you.
Happy Easter.
That girl, top of the class.
Everywhere from Parliament to Mardi Gras. He's all over the place at the moment. Big Mal, our beloved leader. Good morning, Big Mal.
Good morning to you. Yes, it was Mardi Gras again. And I went up to Stonewall afterwards and a young man gave me a vitamin pill called a pinger. And finally got to sleep yesterday afternoon. And I'm feeling very emotional.
Yes, Teary Tuesday.
It is. I'm just curled up under the desk and I don't know what's wrong. Before I go, I just want to say that Mix 94.5 rocks Chidlo.
Oh, we love Chidlo. Yes.
I've scored some good skunk from the good people.
There he is, Big Mal, the best of Big Mal there. He's got a few recreational...
Yes, our naughty leader, former leader.
I just realised that compilation was almost in every story.
Yeah,
pretty funny. What will come for Big Mal in 2019? It could be another interesting year, we think.
We'll take over the world.
He may do.
The Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber.
Question that's been posed by SBS, the special that's on tonight, is Australia sexist?
Mm-hmm.
They conducted a massive survey. One of the stats that bounced out at me was in the last 12 months, 40% of women in Australia between 18 and 25 years of age have experienced sexual harassment in a public place.
Mm-hmm.
So it leads to tonight's special, 8:40 on SBS. Yumi Steins is on the line, who's the host of the show. Yumi, firstly, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yumi, some of these stats that you guys have revealed are pretty alarming, I think. I mean, I was wolf-whistled in the street by two guys, and when I flipped them the bird... They went, oh, you're one of them. And I was like, oh, what's that? A woman who doesn't tolerate being objectified by strangers in the street. But apparently 22% of men believe that women should take being wolf whistled on the street as a compliment.
Yeah, it's really not a compliment. So a bit of a wake up call for some people who haven't quite caught up yet that women don't like being wolf whistled at all, or shouted at, or have men shout revolting things out their car windows at you.
I think that's part of the biggest issue for me, that I go, men believe that women should find it as a compliment. I'm like, maybe that's the biggest problem, is men telling us what we should be thinking or feeling instead of just listening. Like, we're being open about it and saying we don't like it. Why are they still doing it?
I know, it's so funny because another issue that comes up in the documentary about sexism is what women like and don't like when they're doing online dating.
Yes.
And the fact is, most of us don't want an explicit sexual proposition as the opening line. Like maybe, you know, a few messages down the track for sure, but as the opener, really not many women want that. But the number of men who've contacted me personally to tell me that that's what women want instead of listening
to us
saying that's not what we want, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Yumi, you've said or you've been quoted as saying that sexism is no longer a concept for activists and inner-city smartasses, but the defining social issue of 2018, which may well be true. My only sort of concern is that, you know, climate change has probably been the defining social issue of the last three decades, and yet we still haven't moved on that. Are we? Do we find it very difficult to change our behaviours? It seems so.
That's a good comparison, actually, because with climate change, I do feel like changes are being made and behaviours are being shifted. Like, have you noticed how sort of frowned upon disposable cups and disposable straws have become?
Yeah,
and
true.
People are totally reusing their shopping bags.
Yeah,
so I think change
true.
Is possible. Mm. And I agree, climate change is a big issue, and so is racism, sexism as well. And just the recent stuff that's been happening in Parliament has been really illuminating and really illuminating this issue. Julia Banks just saying, you know what, I've got to get out of this party because they treat me like garbage because I'm a woman. All this stuff is really feeding into this idea, and it's really people are starting to actually talk about it. So back to that idea of, you know, men say one thing and women say another, I think this is the documentary you need to watch with someone of the opposite sex so that afterwards you can have a really robust argument about it, about, you know, whether it's wrong or right or whether that reflects a real experience that you've had or, you know, or it's just all crazy talk.
What about your charming Tinder date bloke that you confronted? I mean, that must have been nerve-wracking for you, and we don't need to repeat what he said, but, you know, you must have been on edge there. You're in public.
Oh, mate, I was seriously, my heart was pounding. And they'd set me up with a guy, a trained SAS bodyguard.
Right.
Who was sitting behind me, and he looked like a Hollywood bodyguard, like a baseball cap and a moustache. And he wasn't big, he was sort of little and nuggety and a bit fierce.
And reliable, yep.
Totally reliable. And I had a signal for him if things got scary. But, you know, it was really easy to just get lost in the moment of speaking to this guy, and I felt at times very alone and very sympathetic to people who are looking for love and have to go into these situations, you know, feeling vulnerable. And, you know, you want to be vulnerable if you want to fall in love. It's part of the deal, I think. But feeling also very conscious of the size difference between me and the guy. You know, I feel really fit and strong, but I could not take that guy down if I had to, you know?
Yeah.
And those things do go through your mind. Like, if he gets violent, like, if he reacts badly to this, what's next? And women really do take those steps in their minds about how things could escalate and how to avoid that escalation. And that's something that we think about really constantly.
And this looks like something, it's not just about, you know, I know it's obviously a gender issue and we're talking about is Australia sexist, but, you know, one of the stats that you've got here, 83% of women and 60% of men say it's okay for boys to play with dolls. And I feel like that's actually a pretty good number. I'm like, I feel like, you know, in the past, there's probably a lot more men that would say, I'm not having my son play with dolls.
Yeah, it's funny that because, you know, I've got my own little son and I see how he interacts with girl stuff because he's got three older sisters. He's only 3 years old. But I'm already seeing him start to shun the more sort of female-gendered toys and the female-gendered play, not to mention the dress. You know, he's definitely getting that cultural influence from somewhere. And I think it's his little mate saying, no, boys don't play with dolls and being mocked, you know. So even though we say it on a conscious level, whether we're actually practicing that in real life is another whole thing.
Yumi, we could talk to you for about an hour and not run out of questions and answers, but all the best for the show tonight.
Thanks a lot, guys.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Now, I'm not what you would call a superstitious person.
Right.
No. I know some people are. You remember Steve Waugh with his lucky red hanky.
Oh, the former Australian cricket captain, yeah.
Yeah, certain people have things that they hold very dear. Well, you know.
If you're not superstitious, though, if you were to walk past a ladder, would you still go around it?
I would.
I always do.
Isn't that funny, though?
Never
you
go
don't
under
have to
it.
Be superstitious, but you're still kind of like, well, it's no skin off my nose if I don't go under
well,
it.
Well, that's it. Yeah, why test fate like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
I mean, break a mirror, 7 years bad luck. You know, don't put your shoes on the table.
Yes.
You know, old wives' tales, superstitions. Don't really know where they come from, but they've. You know, they're strong enough that they're still with us today.
Absolutely. And, you know, people, if they have one of those things, they just stick to it. Like you said about the Steve Waugh and the cricket, it's like the Marsh family at the cricket. If one of the boys is batting.
That's right.
Sean or Mitch, then they don't move. It's really quite bizarre to
watch. Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the ones that everyone knows, of course, is that if you get pooped on by a bird.
Oh, right, yeah, that's good luck,
right? So
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, no, apparently so. Here we go.
Oh, careful.
Oh, I'm having memories.
Dodge and weave. That's a Maggie effect too.
So yesterday I was doing the pulse at Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I got in there and Tomo, he's a lovely man.
He's a great man.
The anchor, of course. He told us that we got the pressure test wrong yesterday.
Oh, did you really?
And we owed $10 because holy night, you and I thought that was the caller was just saying the second line of Silent Night. But it is actually its own Christmas carol.
We threw her an extra $10.
Exactly. And I thought, well, if Tomo knows. Yep.
He knows his Christmas, Tomo.
He does.
Yep.
So I was walking into Channel 9 through the city.
Yeah.
And if you're eating your breakfast, I apologize here. I got pooped on by what I assume is a pigeon.
Oh,
right?
I'm so happy for you. Well, that's great luck.
Can I just say this without trying to, you know, lower the tone here?
That's all right.
I've been pooped on by birds before.
Yeah.
Oh. As in the flying variety.
Yep.
And I, you know, you get a few specks.
What other bird?
A few specks.
Sometimes it's on your car and you go, there's a dribble of bird poo. Yeah.
This was like, how can I describe it? Someone dropping a pint of lukewarm water.
Please.
It hit my arm.
Gross.
It hit my arm. There were three lads fully inked up. Yeah. Behind me, and they saw it happen, and they were like, oh, yeah, right?
Oh, right.
It covered my entire right arm.
Oh, that poor bird must have had quite a sore digestive system. Something wasn't quite right.
So it's like someone to Bali for schoolies or something.
Someone in a high rise in the city has thrown their muesli out the window.
That's what it felt like. Right. And so I'm there like, you know, almost like I wanted to be in a hazmat suit.
Didn't want
to touch my own arm.
Yeah.
I'm walking down alleyways trying to find somewhere to wipe it
on the bricks
or a tap, you know, and I've got to go into Channel 9 for goodness sake. Yeah. I might see Matthew Pavlich. I've got to look me best.
Catch up with Tomo.
Yeah. And so there I'm walking along going, oh God. And so it did delay me and I'm thinking, well, maybe in that delay, I was stopped from something awful happening.
Getting run over on the terrace.
Yeah, maybe. So maybe it was good luck, but I didn't feel like it. And I got to 9. And I tried to sort of say very quick hellos and sign with my left hand. And I got in and I got into the toilet and it was like I was a surgeon scrubbing for surgery. I was just doing the full
scrubs.
Maybe the good luck is yet to come.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, some people will tell you that the superstitions are true. And there might be people out there now who have broken a mirror and had 7 years bad luck. Or there might
quite
be people
possibly.
Who...
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, give us a call. 133353. Did your superstition... Come to fruition.
Yeah, and sometimes there are lucky things and sometimes there are, you know, the things that go the other way.
Yes.
You know, which is bad luck. And, especially the mirror one. That's one that gets me. Because, when you're moving house, it's easy to smash a mirror.
Absolutely.
It's not hard at
all. And did you notice that maybe your luck changed for 7 years?
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
And Matt needs an umbrella in the city, I think, next time, mate.
We do, yes, we're talking about those superstitions after I got pooped on. Well, I was unloaded on by a pigeon.
Right.
And I'm just thinking now that I should have gone and got a lotto ticket straight away.
Are you buying one for Thursday night?
I've already got one, but I should have got one. Post-poop.
Post-the-poop.
So how much is Lotto on Thursday night?
12 mil.
Oh, wouldn't that be incredible?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, well, we want to know if your superstition did come to fruition or if it's all just rubbish. Louise is in Jarrodale. Louise, what happened to you?
I got pooped on by a bird on my wedding day. I've been married nearly 31 years.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, it hasn't been at all the hard work you've put in, Louise. I'm sure it's all luck.
Oh, absolutely.
You've meant to leave him so many times, but you thought about that poop and you thought, no, I can't.
So, Louise, where did it poo on your, which part? Not on the veil or something, was it?
No, it was on, I had a Princess Diana haircut and it was on my fringe.
Oh, it grew on your head. Oh,
yes.
Oh, Louise, how much time did you have to fix that before you walked down the aisle?
Well, it was just after we were doing the photographs.
Oh. Did it make an appearance in any of the photos?
It must be.
No.
Oh, he cleaned up before he snapped again.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Louise.
Good on you, Louise. Well done, 31 years. Congratulations.
Sweet. Now, let's go to Ballajura. G'day, Jan.
Hi.
Can you tell us about the superstition that's come through?
It was actually my dad's superstition. Mm. He wouldn't have sit at a table where there was 13 people if he was the 13th person.
Okay.
Because someone at the table would die.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Tell me that didn't come to fruition.
It did. Each time.
No.
What do you mean? Dear. How many tables do you sit at with 13 people? Must have a lot of friends.
One was at a wedding.
Yes.
Right. And he actually grabbed someone's baby and had the baby sit on his lap all night.
Yes.
Because... previously he'd sat and at a table of 13 and someone had died.
Mm.
And previously he'd sat somewhere at a table of 13 and someone had died. So
oh
at this wedding, he grabbed a baby and had the baby sit on his lap all night.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Wow. Everyone else's superstition is just to not let Jan's dad sit
at
the table.
That's it. Yeah, just don't invite him.
Now because he's passed away.
Oh, may he rest in peace.
Yeah, that was his superstition, and no one ever, wherever we went or whenever we had parties, we always made sure there was more than either less or more than 13.
Well, and 13 is a very powerful number for a lot of people, isn't it? Yeah.
But anything else, 13 never worried him. So he picked 13 in lotto numbers.
Oh, right, okay.
Everything, it was just 13
just about
at a table.
He'd be all right on the 13th floor if they had them. Oh, there you go.
Okay. Didn't worry him. Yeah.
Okay. Good on you,
Jan. Thanks, Jan. Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Oh, to have 13 friends.
That's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or just 12,
You don't often hear of them coming true. Monica's in Parkwood. Monica, did your superstition come to fruition?
Absolutely.
What is it?
Many, many years ago, I had what you might call a gambling problem.
Right.
And there's an old superstition that says before you gamble, you should never look at a cross-eyed person.
Oh, really?
Right.
So West Point Casino employed a cross-eyed drink waiter.
Right.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm still working.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Gee, I've never heard of that one.
Yes.
It's actually pretty good if you are cross-eyed, because then if you're in that environment, you don't need to bother with a poker face because no one's looking in your direction.
No, I used to buy my drinks and hand her the coins, but try never to look at her, but be as polite as possible.
Oh, you weren't quite sure which way to go.
Wow.
Okay,
that's a beauty.
So still working, Mon?
Still working.
There you go.
Presumably that waiter at the Rest Point Casino, I mean, you would have stayed sober because there wouldn't have been much in the glass.
Quite possibly.
Boom, boom.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Jenny's in the vines. Jenny, did your superstition come to fruition?
Can't say that.
It did. I wasn't superstitious about this until it happened.
Yeah.
Once the bird messed on my head and I washed it out of my hair and dropped my daughter off to a teenage party.
Yep.
I had the night free. Hubby's at work, son's out, and I thought, $10, I'll go to the local casino, which was in Launceston, Tasmania, and I won $3,500.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Matt, go and buy that lotto ticket.
I'm going to.
$3,500 after you've had a bird poop on you.
Yep.
So what was the lag time? About 5 hours or something, 4 hours. I've still got time, Jenny.
From the time I got there until they were shutting... They were actually closing the casino at 3 o'clock.
Put it all on black.
Wow.
No, I've actually played the poker machines where you pick your cards for poker. I've won on that a couple of times. I'd rolled up to a roulette table, threw down a $100 note.
God, you're busier than the Bond girl.
And I put it on one number, and it come up.
Okay.
And they just roared laughing.
All right.
I was just playing that table.
And then
I went and played blackjack and just kept winning and, and then it was time to...
And obviously stayed clear of Monica's waiter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't see any of those cross-eyed people.
Wow. No, thanks, Jenny. Well, there you go, Matt. That's your journey.
Lucky Jenny.
Lucky Jenny.
Yeah, you've got to get a ticket.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Coburn, Cannington, Mount Fungiro, Wayne, Joondalup, Eastvic Park, the places between. Home is where the heart is and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt. Hits from your hood.
Oh yeah, we are counting down your favourite hits, Matt's Hits from Your Hood for 2018. What song did we play yesterday?
Calamunda.
Calamunda. That's
yeah. Calamunda.
Oh, I'm so onto it this morning, I tell you.
You get a bit weary, mate, over
I
there.
I don't know. I've had two coffees, but I just can't get out of second gear.
Because you've produced about 785 Suburban songs in the last 2 years.
Maybe that's... And, of course, there is one final one, which you guys are going to be joining me in the studio later on this morning to record.
It depends if we do well. We could easily be cut from the cast.
We may end up on the floor of the editing room.
You will not be cut.
Over the weekend, we did do a vote online where the people of Perth went and voted for their favourite hits from your hood so far this year.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we played Calamunda yesterday in, was it fifth spot?
In fifth spot.
It was, yep.
So fourth today.
Fourth today.
This was a winner.
Well, stomping ground.
This one. Warwick.
This is Claire's fave.
Bless you.
Well, having grown up around there, that sort of region, Hammersley, going to school in Greenwood, my brother went to Warwick High. Should we do
this? This one's for you, Claire's.
Number four. Thanks, bud.
I'm in Warwick. The suburbs fully sick. Ground cinema flicks. Nice chairs for mama's back. If you like to feel at home, getting fit in the green zone. That's in Warwick. Do the dim sum serenade. When in Warwick. Now Warwick's in good shape. Erinale Road. Go straight. Go shopping at Warwick Grove. Like 10-pin bowling. It's open late. In Warwick. Warwick's good. Set your compass point to north. Head to Warwick. If you're really into sport. So little buckets for childcare. That's in Warwick. All in Warwick. Warwick's cool. Check out Warwick. Warwick's good. I'm in Warwick. The suburbs fully sick. At Danny Green's gym. You can blast your lats. Get a caffeine rush at Dome. There's one in Warwick. Letting loose at the time zone. Good times in Warwick. Water wizard cleans your car. Hygienic Warwick. Now Warwick, looking great. Crime rate steady, going straight. Still got bushland and open space. Warwick Stadium, it's so first rate. In Warwick, in good shape. Erindale Road, go straight, go shopping at Warwick Grove. Like 10-pin bowling, it's open late in Warwick. Warwick's good.
Oh, Erindale Road, love it.
Oh, one of my favourite lines ever is hygienic Warwick. Oh,
yeah, hygienic Warwick, because they've got a car wash.
We're really glad.
Hygienic Warwick.
The fires yesterday at the Warwick High School and all that bushland there off Erindale Road. Oh. We're glad the school didn't go off.
Oh, good.
Yeah, very nice with a 38-degree day. But yeah, beautiful, mate. I spent a lot of time at Warwick Grove, so you're all good.
Looking forward to the rest of the hits this week.
Yeah, brilliant.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Belinda missed.
I'm not a churchgoer.
No.
But I've been to a service or two, you know, through teaching.
You've sat on a pew?
I've sat on a pew.
Or two?
Or two. From teaching at a Catholic school, had to do a few of those, and been to a couple of weddings.
Yes.
And sometimes they can get a little bit long-winded, can't they, old church service? True.
Harry and Meghan's wedding, the pastor there, he went on for quite a while, didn't
he? Yeah, he was just freestyling.
Yeah, he was.
In fact, he's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can get a bit long-winded, but not quite like this. A church in the Netherlands has been holding a round-the-clock service for more than a month.
Wow.
Oh, really?
It's just been going 24...
Are they going for the Guinness Book of Records?
Sounds like
You'd think so, wouldn't you? And I mean, I'm not sure what the actual record would currently be, but it doesn't look like these guys can stop. I feel like they've overcommitted. They've been doing this because they're trying to protect a family of refugees from deportation.
Okay.
Right.
Which is really interesting. They've got an Armenian family of five living in the Bethel Church in Hague. And under Dutch law, police are not allowed to enter a place of worship while there are services happening.
Uh-huh. Yes, clever.
Yeah, even in the new series of Narcos, the cops don't want to go into the in there. So a lot of people hide in there from the drug cartels.
Yeah, they can't go in. Now, this family, they fled Armenia 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've received death threats for political activism, things like that. And at one point, they were granted asylum. But then the decision was overturned by the government. So they went, you can't do it anymore. And this church, these guys went, that's not good enough.
No.
So we'll just keep them in here. And we'll keep the service going as long as we can.
Bloody hell.
They've had more than 400 pastors step in to help out. Like, everyone's just doing a shift.
Yes, yes. It's like preparing for an Edinburgh Festival show. Oh, yeah. You know, you just keep coming in and working on your routine and go, it's getting really good.
Getting there. There's not many places you're untouchable on the planet, though, are there?
I mean, no.
Lethal Weapon 2 was on the telly yesterday. Remember the South Africans that, the two blokes were always chasing, Mel Gibson and Danny Glover? And there was always that diplomatic immunity, Mr. Riggs. They just couldn't touch them in certain circumstances. But it's very rare that you're untouchable.
Only you could draw a parallel between the asylum-seeking Armenians and Lethal Weapon 2.
Love that movie.
Very well done.
Yeah. When Mel Gibson puts his shoulder out, love it.
But this is it. Now that they've started, the church leaders have said they'll keep going as long as it takes. So these guys, in the meantime, just family hanging out in the church and goodness knows how long they'll be there.
And good on you, The Hague.
Yeah.
For doing that.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I mean, you know, I don't know the whole story here, but it sounds like this family are, you know, fearful for their lives and don't want to go back to Armenia.
Yeah. So there you are. Now you're in a church for life. I don't know how long they can keep
going. They'll be blowing the budget on wafers and holy wine, won't
they? Yeah, they'll be bringing in the cheap stuff.
Right, yeah, where's the
cheap plonk?
Where's the cooler bar?
House wine.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
The place of politics in Australia is a very weird place, isn't it, when you think about Parliament House? And
it really is,
all that goes there. We could speak about our state parliaments, but I'm speaking national.
Yes. Yep.
Speaking of national, ABC Radio national presenter Patricia Karvilas was asked by an attendant to leave the press gallery during question time there at Parliament House because she was said to be showing too much shoulder.
Ooh, yes. The sizzle.
I mean,
ooh.
What would you call that? A sleeveless top?
Yeah, sort of like blouse, half sleeve pantsuit she said she was wearing.
Ironically, it's not even sleeveless.
No.
It's kind of, it's cap sleeve.
Cap
That's what we call
sleeve.
It
Which
in
is
the
sort
biz.
Of the diagonal sleeve thing going on there.
Cap sleeve.
So she said that she was wearing the half sleeve pantsuit and she was basically told by those in control of the house that she needed to cover it more. She was meant to be wearing a jacket. That was proper protocol and the proper outfit to be wearing.
I mean, it's certainly not something with my vast fashion experience.
Mm.
It's certainly nothing that I would look at and go, oh, gee, that's a bit risque.
Well, when someone told me about the story, I thought, oh, what is she showing a bit of cleavage or
something? Yeah, that's all.
So she's showing her arms right up to the shoulder.
You can't even see her armpit.
No. Well, the last thing I want to know is that people in Parliament have got arms.
Yes.
I mean, you know what I mean? I'd cover them up. Yeah. Hide it up. I mean, the sizzle of a shoulder is far too much. I don't know about you guys.
Hey, what about our local fashion plate there? Have a look.
Julie Bishop that's is wearing, a few days ago.
That was on November 26. She was wearing a dress with no sleeve, let's be honest.
Oh, so maybe it's like it's about a position of power. What not who, what no you know
one,
or who
no
you know.
No one says anything to Julie like that.
No one's going to tell, especially when it comes to fashion.
I mean, look, I guess there are obviously two sides to every story, or probably more than two sides. One is, you know, is this an outrageous, you know, saying that women have to dress in a certain way?
Mm.
Or are there some places where certain standards should be kept, even if it sounds very old-fashioned?
Yeah, well, I think the problem here is that double standard.
Yeah,
Julie,
well, sure,
I love Tanya Plibersek's sense of humour. She said on Twitter, look, you'd be okay in America. You have the Second Amendment. You have right to bear arms. That's funny.
But, you know, these things happen where I don't know. Like, if you're not part of that world, and I mean, they would know in Parliament, I guess, but I was hosting an event at a golf club. I've never been to a golf club. I don't play. I don't know, you know. Mm. And I turned up in a pair of new tight black jeans. And they were the type of jeans that were like more like a fitted pant.
Right.
You know, like they're very dark, very neat. They were brand new, so not scabby.
Yeah. Capped sleeves?
No.
No, she had a boob tube on. That was the issue. Yeah.
And like they said that I couldn't enter because you're not allowed to wear jeans at a golf club.
So it was just about the jeans.
Yeah.
Nice top on.
Yeah, no, I was dressed to host an event.
Right.
So I wasn't dressed like, you know, it wasn't scabby streetwear. I was dressed to host an event.
Yeah.
And they went, you can't come in because you're wearing jeans. And I'm like, but I am the MC.
Yes.
Like the event's not going to happen unless I am in there.
Take a hike, Joan Jett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even double denim.
No.
They did let me in. I had to talk my way in, but they said basically, you know, spend most of the time sitting down behind the table if you can.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
That got said.
Yeah. And I also got busted at the Wacker for not having a knee-length skirt because my skirt was above my knee. And I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen my knees. They are very sexy and very off-putting at the Wacker, obviously.
I thought you were brought up better than that.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's
disrespectful to Dennis Lilly and all the people who were at the Wacker.
I just love getting around sashaying my knees around the place.
We didn't
can't help
fight
it.
In two world wars, so you could be wearing tight black jeans
or
at a golf club.
In 72 Ashes series. Yes. I mean, really. I've heard of other people not being allowed in certain areas of the Wacker too in the old days.
It's very, well, yeah, they're quite strict about it. You know, it's all the traditions.
Mind you, have you seen a Shield game crowd there these days? You'll get
they'll
in.
They'll take anything you got.
The punters can wear watermelons on their head, but don't worry about me and my skirt. That's a problem.
Oh, I don't know if there's an issue at Optus, but we'll talk you in, KJ.
Thanks.
Whatever you need to do.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
I don't like change.
What's happened?
I like things to stay the same.
Oh, no. Oh. What is it?
Since 1948 in this country,
I know where he's going.
To the shop.
Have you got a tissue?
To buy a box of Roses chocolates.
Once a year at Christmas.
Once a year at Christmas.
The Cadbury favourites.
The Cadbury favourites. You bloody knew what you were bloody getting.
Thank you very much for the care. We're grateful.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you very much for being so helpful.
Thank you very much. Very, very much.
Like the old telephone song.
Remember, thank you very much for taking us camping.
Thank you very much.
For the occasion. Oh. For any reason at all. Lots of delicious centres covered in smooth Cadbury chocolate.
Smooth. See? Beautiful. But what have they gone and done? Not only have they changed the wrappers, they've changed the centres.
Oh, calm down, Matt.
Oh, dear.
For goodness sake. When you find a good thing, stick to it.
Well, the difficult thing with this too is that Roses have changed, and they changed them in September, but nobody really noticed until now.
No one noticed that we had lead in the water either. That came out in June.
So, yeah, the government did know.
Because they're quite a traditional Christmas chocolate. Roses seem to be the present that you kind of gift at Christmas or give to the teachers for a job well done.
Does it matter if they change the wrapper, you know, the scrunchy end wrappers? Does that matter?
It seems it does matter.
Well, it's upset you a bit, hasn't it?
Well, it has, because this is the gift that, as Kimber was alluding to, that we give to people that we don't care about that much.
Pretty much. Well, they can be pretty cheap, can't they?
It's generic. In my family, it was you buy the box of roses, you wrap it up so that if a neighbour comes over or if someone, then you've got something for them.
Yes. Yeah, or you really dislike your sister or something.
Yes, yes. So they've gone from the twirly, they call that a dog treat? Is that what they call that style? Dog treat?
Apparently.
The twisty wrapper. Yeah. And they've gone, they're calling the new style hipster. I think the hipster word gets thrown around quite easily these days.
Bandied around, doesn't it?
It's just a square wrapper.
Oh, so there's not like ink or something on the wrapper or something?
No, I think
the chocolate doesn't make a coffee for you.
I think the dog treat references come from the fact that that's what the new wrappers look like.
Oh, I beg
they're
your
like
oh, okay. They're like almost like a small muesli bar.
They're
kind
sort of
wrapper.
Like individual little.
Right.
They're sort of like little dog treats.
Yeah, without the twisty ends.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But lots of people are complaining about this. Some people are boycotting Roses for Christmas, saying until you bring back the originals, I don't want to know about it. One family was saying it's their Christmas tradition to tie roses to the Christmas tree.
Oh, no.
But now with the new wrappers, they can't do it.
That's going to completely spoil Christmas, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
And they've changed. There's a new one now, which is white raspberry, which is supposed to, be a more hipster flavour.
So some favourites have gone.
Favourites have gone.
Oh, dear.
Well, basically most of them have changed. I mean, the wrappers have changed on lots of them, but, you know, they've got rid of the traditional strawberry cream and peppermint cream.
One.
I mean,
yeah.
What's the point in buying roses if you don't have those two?
No strawberry cream.
Those two are my go-to. The first thing I get, one strawberry, one peppermint.
But I think, you know, this is where we're going to see the power of the people. And as certain cynics out on the other side of the glass say, it's a great marketing tool.
Yeah.
Because they make a lot of noise and then you watch, they'll change it back to the original and everyone will be happy.
Thank you, Cadbury.
But no one will buy them still.
No.
But you know what's weird is that they've gone in with the new flavours, and this really disappoints me because they've put in two hazelnut ones. Where's the necessary thing in that? Everyone is going to end up with some Ferrero Rochers floating around at Christmas.
That's true.
You don't need any more hazelnut. And now there's two of them that are basically exactly the same, but in two different wrappers.
See the white raspberry, right? You've got a photo of it in the last page. They look a bit like the measles.
It does a little bit.
Put me off already.
Yeah, these are not really the go-to. I think I'm out on the roses this year. Okay. But I mean, if you got them for me, I'd eat them.
I'm happy with double hazelnut, though.
It is great to know that, we can get people fired up to make some changes. It does give you hope for, I don't know, climate change or something like that.
Climate, yeah.
If we could
box of roses.
If we could get Cadbury to change, surely we could get, black coal out of the equation.
Now, the most important thing, mate, we care about you. Have you calmed down? Are you okay?
I just don't like changes, Claire. Yeah,
can you check for a pulse there, please?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Think quick, win big. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
Hey, it's time to play. Need someone to play with who can handle some pressure in Stirling. Matthew, do you think you're the man for the job, mate?
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Yeah, good, bud.
Not too shabby. Matt, we're going to give you a category and a time limit, and you just need to provide the correct answers. For each one of those you get correct, you'll win $10. But if you get all of them, you'll win $250.
That's good.
All right, buddy. Now we're putting 10 seconds on the clock.
Is that all?
Yeah, it's all. So
I'm going to rethink that.
Got to take a deep breath and get right into it. Your time will start once I've given you the category. Matthew, we need your list. 5 Perth suburbs starting with the letter C for carrot. Go.
Carambine, Kareem, Como, Connolly, Churchland.
Whoa!
Holy moly!
Whoa, you did it!
1, 2, 5.
Bloody hell, Matthew.
This isn't Matthew Dictinsky we've called, is it?
Dude! Wow.
I don't know who that is, sorry.
Oh, that's the guy
who's sitting here with
buddy.
Us.
Yeah, terrific.
That's a bit rude.
No, it's great to know I'm cutting through with the public. Yeah. That's awesome.
I didn't think it was Matt, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're all good. You're
Matthew,
all good.
Matthew, you absolutely nailed that.
Is your
brain usually this sharp in the morning?
Oh, I've been up early. The baby was up pretty early.
Oh, of course. There you go.
Yeah. So I'm not usually this, with it.
Well, you did very well with seconds to spare. So yes. $250, it's all yours, Matthew.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
You don't get too many winners who clean up the 250 with 10 seconds. Well done, bud.
No, really well
Have
played.
Have a great day and enjoy your money, Matthew. Merry Christmas.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie. The juice.
Oh, you tell. Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Let's talk telly.
Okay.
Now, the numbers are out for 2018, the most watched free-to-air programs. So whoever was sitting around the TV this year, any guesses for first place, what most people were watching?
The Block.
Was it sport?
It was sport.
Oh, was it?
Yep. Number one, first place for who had the most viewers this year, Channel 7 with the AFL Grand Final presentations.
Oh, right.
The presentations had 1,000 people more watching than the actual game.
Get lost, Tom. Tom's a West Coaster, but he's rubbing it into me again.
Yeah, but that's exactly the way you would watch a game of sport, right? Just tune in to find out who won at the end.
Oh, of course. Yeah, as if that didn't happen for the Block Grand Finale or Married at First Sight or, you know.
And we know what footy fans are like. If you cross to an ad when it's meant to be the team song or the celebration at the end of a win, you just get ropeable. You want to see the boy. You want some tears and you want some emotion. Hugging.
I mean, the presentations and the game, of course, of West Coast v Collingwood was like over 2.6 million viewers.
It was like a sporting fairy tale, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot. And I mean, as we go down, I mean, you've got to say that's first and second place. Third place, State of Origin 1. Fourth place, NRL Grand Final. Fifth place, State of Origin 2.
Right.
I mean, we're a sporting nation.
We are.
Hey, does that mean Dom Sheed from the Eagles should get a gold Logie next year?
Oh.
Maybe.
There you go. Maybe they haven't. They've got to think outside the box now.
Mm.
And then, of course, the Block, the winner announce. Not the rest of the series, just the winner announced. So, but we were also not just sporty, we're followed by a bunch of romantics.
Oh, okay.
Because in the top 20 of the shows watched this year, lots of them were The Royal Wedding, the ceremony.
Sure.
Married at First Sight, the finale. Royal Weddings, the arrivals. Married at First Sight, the final dinner party. The Royal Wedding procession. And Harry and Meghan, the Royal Wedding.
Oh, right. So no Ally the Bachelorette.
No, Ally didn't make the cut. There's a couple of kitchen rules in there as well and a couple of FIFA World Cups. But for the most part, it's just the sport and the romance.
Right. Okay, that's all we're after. Up.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we're a pretty simple nation.
Now, guys, in terms of shows that you might want to watch over the holidays if you get the chance, I thought I'd whip out my favourite from 2018. Okay. So I'll just reveal one every day this
week.
Love it
when you whip it out.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't seen Safe, Safe is a show that I recommend. First one up, it's a mystery drama from the UK and it's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's the story of Tom Delaney, which is played by Michael C. Hall, who you'll know as Dexter, I guess, is probably his most famous role.
Yeah, and Breakfast Club.
Yeah, and he's living in a gated community and his daughter goes missing. Now, he's just an ordinary guy, a widow, who is trying to find his missing daughter.
This is a gated community. You can see who comes in and who goes out.
This man wants to know if you've seen his daughter.
Jenny's missing.
This is the last place she was seen. Someone must know something.
What are you insinuating?
16-year-old Jenny Delaney. She's been reported missing. 9 out of 10 disappearances are connected to somebody now. It doesn't add up.
I know you got your suspicions, but just remember where you are.
One thing you learn in my job, no one knows anyone. Not really.
8 episodes, close to 60 minutes each episode, so it's got a really decent viewing time. It's rated 7.4 on IMDb, which I see as a really good rating because IMDb is one of the kind of...
They're tougher. Okay.
They're tougher, and so it's normally pretty accurately. They don't give it too generously on there.
Oh, okay.
But the writing's really solid. It keeps you guessing who done it. The acting is great, and it's easy to binge on.
Right.
So it kept me interested till the end. If you're looking for a murder mystery type... You know, mystery drama type show.
So then, Michael C. Hall, not Michael Anthony Hall, who I thought you were talking about.
Oh, no, Michael C. Hall,
right.
Dexter.
Gotcha.
Yep, yep. So that one's called Safe and it's on Netflix. So check it out and I'll reveal another show tomorrow.
Well,
very
done.
Nice.
That's
Kim,
your daily juice. Kim.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning.
Hanging out.
It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Now, I don't do a lot of shopping in this department, so I need your help. Look, I've been offered 8 legs of venison for $40.
Good deal.
Is that too dear?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.